Glory be to God. Proverbs chapter 3. We're preaching through the third chapter of the book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. Amen. We jumped a little ahead last week to talk about fear. It's how the Holy Spirit directed me. Amen. Did you find it your way there to Proverbs chapter 3? Hallelujah. We're going to go back now, get things back in order here. Not that they were out of order, and nothing the Holy Spirit does is out of order. Amen. Let's just say it again. Say, Israel, be blessed. Big time. In Jesus' name. Say, I am a friend of Israel.
I am a friend of Israel.
Father,
when it comes to Israel,
you can count me in. In Jesus' name. You believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're here in Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to be preaching for you this morning a message called, Whom the Lord Loveth, He Correcteth.
Hallelujah.
Say, oh glory.
Oh glory.
That's me.
That's me.
I love correction.
I
want to know when I'm wrong.
I want to know when I'm
off track.
Because I'm a wise man.
I'm a wise woman.
Only a fool
doesn't want to know
when they're headed into a ditch.
I'm a wise person.
Father,
jerk the slack out of my leash
whenever you need to.
I want the glory.
I want the power.
I want the fullness of the blessing.
So if you need to discipline me,
you go right ahead and you do that, Father.
Matter of fact,
you only have to tell me one time.
You're not training me to obey you on the third time.
You're training me to obey you the first time.
And when it comes to first time obedience,
you can count me in there too.
You can count me in there too.
Hallelujah. I'm a first time obeyer. Amen. God doesn't have to tell me something two or three times. You know, you go down the mall and you see parents with their children and they're training their children to obey them the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth time they're told, if at all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I look at those little things and I say, Father, I don't want to. Good Lord, I'm going to be 60 years old here pretty soon. And, whoo, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pretty soon, I'm coming up on my sixth decade. Amen. I'm coming up on it. And I don't want to be throwing spiritual hissy fits on the floor. Like babies I see in the natural when God tells me I can do something or I can't do something. Amen. He knows what's best for me. I want His perfect will. So He's free to discipline me whenever He wants to. Amen. You know what I love about my Father? He does it in private first. Amen. He'll speak to me through His Word first. Amen. If I don't obey His Word, then He'll speak to me by the inner witness. Maybe my conscience. Maybe His still small voice. Maybe His audible voice. Maybe a dream, a vision, or a prophecy. Before He moves out into the periphery and begins correcting me openly. I'll have none of that. No thank you. Amen. God can count on me to obey Him the first time. Amen. Can keep my correction between me and Him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, whom God loves, He corrects. I want to promise you, God loves you, Pastor. He must, because He's corrected me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2008 is the year of the fullness of the blessing, but only for the obedient. Amen. God speaks to you about something in here today concerning His general will for your life, His specific will for your life, somewhere that you're off course. He's been trying to get through to you. You haven't been listening to Him. I want to encourage you. Listen to Him. It's in your best interest. Amen. Trying to help you because He's trying to bless you. Amen. Our Christian walk is a journey of correction. We're going to be corrected. That's what the Word of God is intended to do. It's to show us everything in the world we're doing wrong, so we can make it right. And that's my job as a pastor. Amen? So I take the heat the way that I do. The fiery darts the way that I do. Because I go with God, I run with God, I run with the Word. We bring the Word of God to folks. Amen. Show them. That's a pastor's job, is to show people where they're doing things wrong. Hopefully we can do it corporately and don't have to call names. And people are smart enough to just sit there and take the correction and know, God's correcting me in this service this morning. I thank you, Father, for not calling my name and not telling the pastor that you're talking to me specifically today. Amen. Don't want to have to mention names. Norris. Hallelujah. God won't do that. Amen. Public rebuke is reserved for hypocrite in the scripture. I don't see any hypocrites in this room. Amen. Public rebuke is reserved. You can read that in Galatians chapter 2. I could tell you the verses, but it would do you well to read the whole chapter. And you go in there, you'll see that Paul rebuked Peter publicly for being a hypocrite when it came to Jewish and Gentile relations. Amen? That's the only time in Scripture that we are to be rebuked publicly, is when we're living in, walking in, operating in hypocrisy. Amen? And I am not a hypocrite, and I decree to you today, these people who have come into these services in the past and rebuked me publicly, they don't know a flying rip about God's Word. They weren't sent here by the Spirit of God, because I am not a hypocrite. Amen. If God needs to correct me, He can do it privately. Now, if I am a hypocrite, if I was living a hypocritical lifestyle, God is completely within His jurisdiction to bring people in here and rebuke me publicly. You too. Amen, if you're being a hypocrite. But a public rebuke is reserved in Scripture for hypocrites. There's no hypocrites in this room. Amen. So I'm not rebuking anybody here today. We're just going to read some Scriptures together, and you just let God speak to your heart. Amen. God, this is a continue. Did I tell you last week was my New Year's Eve message? My New Year's message? This is part two today. Amen? This is part two today. Look right here. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to pick it up right here, I believe. Say, Pastor! I love you. You noisy thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor! For caring enough to tell me the truth. When it's easy, and when it's hard. Hallelujah. Right here, Proverbs 3:11. My son, my daughter, it's a generic term, amen. Despise not the chastening or chastening of the Lord, however you say it. Despise not. That word despise, by the way, it means run. Don't run from the chastening of the Lord. That word chastening is training. What Solomon's actually saying is, do not run when the Lord corrects you. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Amen. What kind of a father would God be if He just allowed His offspring to just grow up without supervision or discipline? You don't do that in the natural with a child, and you can't do that with your spiritual children either, and God doesn't do that. God will not allow us to grow up to be undisciplined spiritual babies. Amen. And bring reproach to Him in the earth. Amen. Correction and discipline, they're good things. As I said, I ought to know because I've received plenty of it. Amen. And I'm open to it. I want to know when I'm wrong. Amen. I want to fix it. I want to hear the gravel on the side of the road that's telling me I'm about to go into a ditch and possibly hurt myself, someone else, and maybe even die prematurely. I want to know when I'm wrong. Amen? And that doesn't mean for the phone to start jumping off the hook and people start telling me, I don't like the way you comb your hair, I don't like your necktie, you're too loud. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen? Those are all things that are a matter for my conscience. Amen? And your hair and your necktie and your shoes and the way, that's a matter for your conscience. Amen? I'm talking about God's general will for my life as it's recorded in Scripture in His specific will and plan for my life as He reveals it to me. Amen. I'm open to correction if I'm off track. Amen. Aren't you? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Anybody who's going to do great things for God in the earth is going to receive lots of discipline and correction. That's all there is to it. If you're not open to discipline and correction, you're not open to God. I should say we're. If we're not open to discipline and correction, we're not open to God. Amen? I want to look at some of the things the Lord says about receiving correction here in Proverbs chapter 3 today. Amen?
Hallelujah. Look right here again in verse 11. We'll go back there. He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. I told you that means don't run. More specifically, it means don't reject it and disappear. That's exactly what it says. My son, don't reject my correction and disappear when I give it to you. That's what most people do when the Lord sends somebody to correct them. They reject the correction. Now, the correction needs to be based upon God's written word. Amen? We don't have the right to be correcting people we don't know. Amen? And people who don't know us don't have the right to correct us. God's going to send peace. We're going to get into this, but first he's going to speak through his word, then through our conscience. If we won't listen to that, he'll speak to people around us who have influence in our lives. People who have favor with us, and we have favor with them. Amen? Most people, most Christians, when they receive a word of correction, when they're told that they're off base according to the word of God, run from it. They run. They disappear. And the Bible says, don't reject my correction and disappear. I'm sending it to you because I love you. Amen? You believe that? They reject the correction and they go off and they backslide. They say things like, I've had to correct people right in this congregation. I call them up on the telephone and I say, well, where are you? I don't have any peace about being in that church anymore. So you don't have any peace. You told me the Holy Spirit told you to make a commitment to this church. Well, I made a mistake. Now you don't have any peace and now you made a mistake. I said, well, you're mistaken. Peace in your spirit for relief in your flesh. You're saying you don't have peace about being here. But what you're really experiencing is relief in your flesh because I brought a word of correction to you from the word of God. You don't want to receive it and it feels real good not coming back here. Amen? And you're calling that the peace of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Well, God had me correct certain individuals. I'm not thinking or talking about anybody in particular. I do it according to the word of God. Someone comes to me, does it according to the word of God. If it's in the Bible and I'm out of line, I need to know it and I need to make the adjustment. If I'm going to receive as proficiently from God as he wants me to receive from him. He does it because he loves me. Amen? So we don't want to run when correction comes. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't want to run when correction comes. Let me just read to you Proverbs 15, real quick, verse 31. It says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abides amongst the wise. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides amongst the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that hears reproof getteth understanding. And the spiritually mature folks will just take correction right on the chin. Amen? And they'll grow more and be used of God more. Want to see more power of God in our lives? We've got to take his correction right on the chin. Amen? And there's going to be correction coming in 2008. How do I know? Everybody in this room is going to have to be corrected in 2008. How do I know? Because everybody in this room has a belly button, I hope. Or you're from another planet and we don't know you. Amen? You're a human being. Amen? We're all human beings. We're going to need correction in the coming year. God's wanting to bless us with the fullness of his blessing in 2008, but there's areas in our lives, and I don't know what they are in your lives. As far as I know, y'all look good to me. Y'all look good, smell good, spitting. Amen? But you know the area of your greatest weakness. You know the area of your life where God wants to work more in you in 2008 so he can bless you more in 2008. Everybody say he's right, Father. And you can count on me to cooperate with you in 2008. I'm going to try harder. Hallelujah. Amen? Say, I'm wise. The Bible says that the one who rejects correction and discipline remains a baby in need of milk. Paul told the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5, put it in your notes, in verse 12. He said, you've been saved long enough that you all should be teachers by now, but you're still a bunch of babies. You still require the milk of God's word, and you choke on the meat of God's word because you haven't bothered to grow in the truth of God's word. Amen? Listen, I'm not going to remain a spiritual baby all my life. Amen? You know, when you most baby, here's how you can tell. The first sign of a baby believer who still needs the milk of God's word, the most basic, fundamental doctrine they still need. You bring a word of correction to them, and the very first thing they do
is find fault with you. It's the very first thing that they do. That's what babies do in the natural. When mama comes and corrects them, they get a little piece of their own mind. They're going to do their own thing. Mama comes and corrects them. The first thing they do is, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. You're so mean, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. It's mama's fault. No, it's the baby's fault. Amen? That's what, you know, you can parallel everything a spiritual baby does with everything a natural baby does. Natural babies, they think that the world revolves around them. And they don't have to obey the father or the mother. They're totally independent. They do their own thing. And as soon as you correct them, they find fault with their corrector. Anybody seen any of that happen around here? Amen? Say, that's not me. I'm a wise person. Hallelujah. I am not going to find fault with my corrector. Amen? If there's any truth in it, even if they're in the ballpark, I'm going to make the adjustment. Amen? If there's any truth to it at all, I'm going to go to the Father even if I don't see it. And I'm going to say, Father, if I'm not seeing something here, if you're sending somebody to me to show me some sort of long-standing flaw in my life because you're trying to bring me up high, and I don't see it, but if there's any truth to it at all, you show it to me, Father. I'll change it. I'll fix it. Because I want to go on with you. I want to move out in the things of God. Amen. I want to reach the world for Jesus. And I don't want my ignorant, carnal, immature lifestyle to hinder that. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm happy. I'm not smiling. But I'm happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, don't despise my correction. Don't run. Don't find fault with your corrector. Amen. Don't get on the phone and start telling everybody the pastor this and the pastor. You just reveal what a baby you are. Amen. Thank you, Sandy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sandy gets a free tape today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look what else he said in verse 11. He said, neither be weary. Neither be wary of his correction. Is that what your Bible says? Neither be wary of his correction. That Hebrew word for wary is disgusted. Don't be disgusted by the correction of the Lord when it comes to you. Some people get so uptight when God uses somebody to help put them back on track. They get disgusted. They get disgusted with the one that God used to correct them. And in doing so, you're showing your disdain and your disgust for God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I mean, if the correction's coming from the Word of God, amen? Whew, you're just kind of staring at me up here today, amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you're wrong and God uses somebody to show you from the Bible, let you're off track, let's receive it with maturity, amen? Don't get disgusted with your corrector. Amen. Did I ask you to go to Psalm 141 in this little thing I'm hanging up here? Hallelujah. Why don't you go over there? Let's look at it. You know, correction's a holy thing. Correction's a holy thing. I'm going to say it again. God's corrected me. Amen. Many times I've been corrected by the Spirit of God. We're all growing. We're all learning. Amen. We're all at different places of God, in God, no matter where we are in God. As I said, our walk with God through this earth is going to be a journey of correction and discipline. Amen. It's never going to stop as long as we're in the earth. So we may as well just get used to it. Amen. And learn to be first-time obeyers. Amen. Let God speak to our spirits and obey Him the first time. You see something in the Word that we're doing wrong, or we see something in the Word we're not doing and we need to be doing, let's just move immediately to obey it so God doesn't have to send somebody to us to correct us. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 141, you there? Verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. A kindness. That word kindness is actually holy thing. Correction is holy. It comes by the Spirit of God. Let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. That excellent oil is actually perfume. Correction is perfume. Correction, the Bible says, is perfume. So, if you're stinking up the place, and God's trying to help you do something about it, just receive it. It won't kill you, the Bible says, to receive correction from God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's an excellent oil, it's a holy thing, and it's a holy perfume, the Bible says. As long as it's done in the spirit of love, we're obligated to receive it. Amen? If it's true, we just receive it. And when we receive correction, we receive more power. To receive correction is to receive power. To receive correction is to receive more power. God's wanting to turn up the power volume in our lives. We all want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit more, don't we? We need to show God we can be trusted with those gifts. Amen? We all want to experience financial increase, don't we? We need to show God we can be trusted with financial increase. Amen? And when God brings a simple word of correction to us so that He can turn the power volume up in our life, and we don't receive it, we run away and we find fault with our corrector, we don't really believe God's going to send increase into our lives, do we? I mean, do we? Of course we don't. That's why the Bible says, don't be like a horse or a mule in Psalm 32 that needs to be kept in check with bit and bridle. We're not horses and mules. We're sheep. Sheep follow. Amen? They don't need to be led with the bit and bridle. Sheep willingly follow the shepherd. Amen? Amen? Don't get too big for your sheepskin. Amen? Amen? Don't get too big for your sheepskin, because if you do, it'll be time to play pin the tail on the donkey. Amen? If you're going to be a mule, God will deal with you as a mule. But if you'll just be a willing sheep who's just willing to obey the word of God, be led by the shepherd that God places over you. Let me just read to you from the Message Bible, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Why don't you go there to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7? I'm just kind of letting the Holy Spirit lead me here today. I need somebody to go to Hebrews chapter 13 and read verse 7 out loud. Amen? I don't need somebody today to read for me who's calmly excited. I need somebody to read to me today who is excited about the Word of God. Helen, you're my choice. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Nice and loud so they can hear it on the recorder.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
That word conversation means manner of life. Look at them as an example. As long as they're building on the Word of God, you follow them as they're building on the Word of God. Amen. Consider those who have the rule over you. Obey those who have the rule over you. Let me tell you what the Message Bible says in Hebrews 13:7. It says, be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives, and they work under the strict supervision of God. They are alert to the condition of your lives, and they work under the strict supervision of God. You've heard me say it before. When a police officer tells you to pull over, you pull over. When a doctor tells you to take medication, you take medication. When the teacher tells you to stop goofing around and pay attention to the lesson, you stop goofing around, you pay attention to the lesson. When the pastor tells you you're off base or off beat according to the written word of God, you pull yourself in line according to what the pastor said. Amen. As long as it's based on Scripture. But don't run when it happens. Don't get into fear now. I don't see anybody who needs this kind of correction. Amen. But I don't know everything though. And the Holy Ghost, He knows everything. I might be coming to somebody soon. Amen. I might be coming to a theater near you. Amen. And if I do, just receive it. Amen. I'll come with the Word. I'll come in the spirit of love. The Holy Spirit says, John, you know, you go to Sandy and tell her she's got to stop robbing them gas stations for her gas. I'll come with Scripture, thou shalt not steal. Amen. She doesn't do that. She believes God for gas. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just a little pulpit humor. Very little, Barbara says. Amen. I knew Sandy wouldn't be offended by that illustration. Amen. If 2008, hallelujah. See, she knows Stalin's wrong, so she doesn't have a problem with it. She doesn't have a problem with God's word. Amen. 2008 is going to be the year of the fullness of God's blessing. Amen. And some of us are going to need correction, including me. And when He corrects me in an area, as soon as I see it and as soon as I hear it, I'm going to obey Him. He's not going to have to send somebody to me. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm going to move out immediately and obey Him. He corrects me because He loves me. Look at verse 12. Says, whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Amen. I'm going to say it again. It includes women. Amen. Just because it says son doesn't mean that women are being left out, that daughter. It's a generic term. He's talking to his daughters as well. Amen. I want you to know that I believe that women can preach the gospel, operate in the gifts of the Spirit, have the same authority in Christ Jesus over Satan and demon powers as any man in this earth. Amen? Amen? I'm all for women. I married one. Amen? I belong to one. I'm her love slave. Amen? Hallelujah. No, I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just telling you. Amen? That's just the way it is. Amen? I'm not down on women preaching the gospel. I am. If you're down on women preaching the gospel, you're down on the gospel. You're not up on the gospel. Amen? Women can preach and women can teach and operate in the gifts of the Spirit and do all the things that men can do in this earth. Amen? You believe that? Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there's neither bond nor free, male nor female, Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Christ Jesus, and some men need to get a clue. Wake up and smell the coffee before you end up having to wake up and put it on for yourself. Hallelujah. Although I do get up and put on the coffee, don't I?
Yes, you do.
I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So does Barbara, though. We take turns. We don't fight over that stuff at our house. Amen? Hallelujah. Barbara has two rules that I walk in love towards her no matter what. Rule number one and rule number two, that I do everything else she tells me. Two simple rules, and we live in peace. Hallelujah. Listen, God corrects us because He loves us. Amen? If God didn't love us and delight in us, He'd just leave us alone to grow up and to become spiritual monsters. And there's lots of them out there. They claim they're walking with God. They're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, yabba-dabba-do, speak in tongues, yabba-dabba-do, but that's all it is. They're not walking with God according to His Word. They're not obeying His Word. There's only one way to walk with God. That's according to His Word. Lots of folks out there, they're spiritual babies, spiritual brats, spiritual monsters, because they're not growing according to the precious, holy, written Word of God. They don't want to sit under a pastor. They don't want to learn the Word of God. Amen? But they want to use that mighty name of Jesus and bless God, it better work. Hallelujah. Someone said to me recently, I just don't think that how we live matters as far as using the name of Jesus and getting results. The name of Jesus is powerful, and when we use it, it should work no matter how we live. Whew, man, you know why some people don't know they're deceived? You know why some people don't know they're deceived? Because they're deceived. That's what she said to me. I don't believe how we live matters. The name of Jesus is all powerful. It should just work no matter how we're living. That's not true. Amen? The secret to success in God is obedience. You know that Hebrews 5:8 says even Jesus learned obedience by the things He suffered? Even Jesus had to obey God for His words to have power. What are we talking about here today? We're talking about discipline and correction. We're talking about disciplining ourselves in 2008 so the Lord doesn't have to discipline us. Amen? And we're all doing good, far as I know. If we're not, you've got me fooled. If I need to know something, the Holy Spirit will show me, but I prefer He show you. Amen? And that's His preference, too. He'd rather show you first. Give you opportunity. Correct it yourself. Don't get me. I don't want to get involved in your mess. I just want to be a sweet teacher. Amen? Hallelujah. Please make it easy for me. Hallelujah. Please be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Please listen to their counsel. We're alert to the condition of your lives, and we work under the strict supervision of the Great Shepherd. Amen? Hallelujah. And if I have to bring a word of correction to somebody, I'm going to do it. Amen? Amen? I'm not going to say, God, tell Barbara, please, send Barbara. Amen? Amen? Like Moses, here I am, God, send Aaron. Yeah. Amen? No, I'm going to obey God because I don't want Him to replace me. Amen? Number one, because I love you. Number two, I don't want to be replaced. Amen. I want to stay here. I'm happy with what I'm doing. Amen. in spite of all the hell that we've gone through to get to this point, I'm happy and contented to be here. I want to be here. And the Lord sent that angel to me in that dream, and he said that he was here on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he told me to tell you that you will place your feet on the soil of no less than 35 nations in this world, and you will preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that, and I'm looking forward to that, but I want this to be part of that. I'm not looking to go anywhere. I'm not looking to get the hell off the Cape. Can I be so bold with you? Amen? And we've gone through hell. Amen? On the Cape. That's okay. Amen? Hallelujah. What Satan used to dull our influence just sharpens us as individuals. Amen? We're the point of the plow. The Lord told us. Amen? And we're good with that. Amen? I want to stay here. I like it here. I like you folks. I really do. Amen? And I'm just believing God, even though we're going to the nations of the world from here ultimately, that you're all going to be part of it too. Amen? I have no plans on bailing. I have no plans on bailing. This is where we want to spend the rest of our lives. We want to live the rest of our lives here. Amen? I want to go to heaven with both barrels blazing. From Cape Cod, Massachusetts, USA. Amen? Hallelujah. You with me this morning? Hallelujah. We love you. Amen? We want to be here. Amen? Hallelujah. I told you, God only corrects us because He loves us. It's correction. It's not judgment. It's discipline. It's not punishment. Amen? You all know this. You all adults. Amen? Amen? It's correction. It's discipline. It's not punishment, and it's not judgment. God doesn't correct like earthly parents do, you know? He doesn't get ticked off, throw a fit, and smash your head in. That's what my parents used to do. Amen? My daddy would whip up on me in ways that a man doesn't hit a child. Punch you, kick you, pick you up, throw you, hit you, knock you off, hit you with a fist, hit a 10-year-old boy with a fist and throw him across the room. When the blow lands. Amen? And I grew up thinking God might be like that. I grew up thinking maybe God's like that. And then the religion I grew up in, Catholicism, certainly, they taught a God of anger. But that's not how God is. Amen? I'm not trying to rat on my dad. Amen? He's in heaven now. I led him to the Lord. I'll have the relationship with him in heaven I wasn't able to have here. I do forgive him. Amen? Just had an experience the other night with the Holy Ghost in my dad that just, any unforgiveness that might have remained in me, he just stripped it right out of me. The Holy Spirit, so precious, I'll tell you about it sometime. Amen? I forgive my dad. He's in heaven, and I'm glad that he is. Amen? But God's not like my dad. Amen? The Bible says, he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God loves us. He disciplines us because He loves us, but He disciplines and corrects. He doesn't punish. He's not a punitive God. He's a loving Father. Okay, Pastor, move on. It is true. Amen? We don't want to judge the Father by our earthly fathers. Amen? Hallelujah. The more God corrects me, the more I love Him. Let me just read right here. Are you in Proverbs chapter 9? Did you open to that earlier? Hallelujah. The more God corrects me, the more I love Him. Because I'm a wise man. And not a wise guy. A wise man. Amen? Are you there in Proverbs chapter 9? We're just kind of looking at some scriptures here. We're kind of, you know, we're tightening things up because we're going to be in position for the mission in 2008. Amen? In position for the blessing. Amen? Get ready for some correction to come into your life. Amen? And when God shows it to you, just say, yes, sir. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm on it immediately, sir. And can I get your beverage while I'm up? Amen? We want to obey God, don't we? We want to be blessed, but it's going to take correction in some of our lives. Amen? Some changes, some maturity. Proverbs 9, 8, and 9 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee, but rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Amen? Anybody in here want to increase in learning? I want to increase in knowledge of God's Word. Amen? Because I want to increase in knowledge of God. I want to increase in strength in my relationship with God. And that's only going to happen as I pull myself in line with the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen? It's going to require some changes. Amen? I don't want to be left behind when the Spirit of God is... the Spirit of God is even now. I know I keep saying it to you, and I'm going to continue to say it. He's pouring out His Spirit in this earth right now as we sit here this morning, unlike any other time in human history. And I am determined, as that move of God, that swell increases and moves across this country and into the nations of the world, I am not going to be left behind over some stinking little behavioral problem. Amen? Amen? I'm going to pull myself in line with God's Word. If I'm doing something He doesn't want me to do, I'm going to stop. If I'm not doing something He wants me to do, I'm going to start. In 2008. Amen? Hallelujah. I have to, after all. I'm the pastor. How can I tell you to do it if I'm not willing? Amen? Hallelujah. I'm a leader, not a follower. When shepherds follow their sheep, they get doo-doo on their feet. Amen? Let me say that to you again because it's profound. When a shepherd follows his sheep, he gets doo-doo on his feet. Shepherds lead. They don't follow. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm doing pretty good. Except right here, I got a little thing falling off my shoe today. Barbara, how come you didn't point that out to me? Hallelujah. Okay, back to business. Hallelujah. I'm just wanting to correct everything. I want it all to be right when the Holy Spirit shows. Amen? It's to my advantage to obey when God corrects me. Say, it's to my advantage! To obey. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. It's to my advantage to obey. Amen. I'm not going to remain a baby and reject correction. I'm not going to throw little spiritual out Midwest. They call them hissy fits, don't they? Hissy fits. Amen. Temper tantrums. Amen. Let's see what the New Testament says real quick about correction. Then I'm just going to give you a listing of how correction comes. Amen. I'm not going to be able to teach on them at all here today, but I'm going to give you a listing. Amen. Remember I gave you a listing of the 10 different ways healing comes? I just gave them to you with a scriptural reference. I'm going to do the same thing with you here today, and I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit sends correction. Amen. But before we do, let's jump from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Did you go to Hebrews chapter 12? Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this today? Hallelujah. I want to obey. Amen? I want to obey. Hallelujah. What do I want to do? Obey. Amen. Listen, God made us, and we blew it. He redeemed us. We owe Him. He owns me. He made me. He redeemed me. He has the right to command me. And when He does, I'm going to obey Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going into my Father's presence and have to hear Him say to me, you know, I've been looking forward to you coming there, son, but you're going to have to clean them shoes off before you come into my presence. Amen? You got doo-doo on your feet. I'm going to be a good leader, an obedient leader, and I'm going to stress the importance of obedience throughout 2008. Amen? Because that's what it's going to take for us to grow. No sloppiness here. Amen? We're going to run a tight ship. I'm not going to be trying to tell you what to do with your own life. You know what to do with your own lives. Generally, you know what the Word says. You know God's specific plan for your life. I don't. Amen? Amen? You're the prophet of your own life. You hear from God. You hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. But you can count on me. If I see you trying to sneak out through a hole in the fence and there's a wolf on the other side, I'm going to run right over there and I'm going to shoo you away from that hole and I'm going to patch up that hole and I'm going to encourage you to not go near that hole again. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to do. Amen? If I see it off, the Holy Spirit comes to me in the night or during prayer and says, go to so-and-so. Tell them that I said this. And then back away and mind your own business, boy. I'm going to do it. Amen? You can count on me and Barbara to pray for you and to obey God concerning you. Amen? And I know that we can count on you to pray for us and to obey God in your own life and to obey God concerning us. Amen? And we'll get the job done. You're there in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just exhorting you from the Word of God today because 2008 is going to be good. It's going to be good, but there's no room for compromise. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint or run when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. The word of God is going to correct us for as long as we live on this earth. Amen. Amen. We're not going to reach perfection until we get to heaven. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, whereof all family members are partakers, then are ye bastards, or illegitimate, and you're not sons. Amen? You see what this is saying? Correction is not God rejecting us. Correcting is God taking care of family business and accepting us. That's what that's saying right there. Amen? If we reject his correction, he's not our father. He said it, not me. He said you're illegitimate if you don't receive my correction when it's due. Amen? I'm not going to be no illegitimate son of God. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? I want you to know I always showed nothing but respect for my father. As violent and as hateful as that man was to me, he just was full of the devil. He didn't have it in him to love me. But I was always respectful to him. Amen? Always respectful. And respect will take me a whole lot further than my looks will. My looks take me a long way too, won't they? Bob, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. You agreed to encourage me in this way always. I want you to know, I said some strong things about my own earthly daddy today, but I love him and I forgive him. I always loved him, didn't I, Barbara? Barbara saw how mean that man was to me, but I treated him with love and respect and dignity always, didn't I? Hallelujah. I even stopped Barbara from punching him one day. So you can't do that, Bob. Hallelujah. She wanted to. Hallelujah. But she wouldn't. Amen. Barbara set a good example for me in how to deal with my own parents. Hallelujah. And the Lord worked in her, through her, to help me with my parents. Amen. That's what spouses are supposed to be doing, helping one another. Amen. When I'm off track, my wife's supposed to show me. When she's off track, I'm supposed to show her. Amen. We work together in this thing. Our earthly parents verily disciplined us for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but God corrects us for our profit. You see that? That we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen? Again, it's not judgment. It's not punishment. It's correction for our profit so he can share his holiness with us. If we want to walk in the gifts of the Spirit and walk in supernatural prosperity, it's going to take a holy lifestyle. And a holy lifestyle requires discipline. Amen? We have to discipline ourselves, and if we don't discipline ourselves, God will send somebody to us to discipline us. And when he has to do that, we don't want to run. Amen? Verse 11, we're just going through this quickly this morning. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Hallelujah. Doesn't take a prophet to figure out that correction's not fun. It's not intended to be fun. Amen? It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Oh, those who allow themselves to receive it. Amen? Listen, we'll never experience joy in life until we've first disciplined ourselves to experience holiness. We'll never experience joy in life until we first discipline ourselves to experience holiness. And holiness is going to take correction from the Lord. Amen? There's folks sitting in this room right now thinking about areas where God's been talking to me and I've been sluggish.
I've been sluggish.
Time to pick up the pace and do what the Lord's telling you to do concerning his specific plan and purpose for your life. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. That's a little word from the Lord. Amen? Let me tell you how it comes. Amen? Real quick, you just write these down. Don't have time to go over any of them. We know that discipline doesn't come through sickness, poverty, accidents, or disease, confusion, frustration, or failure. That's what religion teaches, but that's not what the Bible teaches. We're up on that, aren't we? Those are all curses of the law. Sickness, disease, and eternal separation from God, poverty, confusion, frustration, and failure. Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you haven't read it yet, you're running late. You need to read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and see all the curses of disobedience. Amen. and sickness and disease are curses for sin. They are not ways that God chastises His people. Amen? Galatians, that's the curse of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. God does not use sickness, disease, poverty, confusion, frustration, accident, incident, injuries, tragedy to correct His children. He uses His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God is profitable for reproof, rebuke, correction, and instruction in righteousness. You'll want to look those scriptures up. Amen? Now, I don't have time to go into that. I'm going to give you the six primary ways that God sends correction into our lives. You ready to write like wildfire? Amen? Not that you haven't been already. Number one, He prefers to use direct correction. Direct correction. That would be His Word and your spirit. His Word and your spirit. His Word and your spirit. Repetition is the key to good teaching. And I sure repeat myself, don't I? 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 Hallelujah. God said in Psalm 32, 8 and 9, put that with this first point. He prefers to use direct correction. He said, I'll guide you with my eye upon you. That word eye is a reference to His knowledge and His presence. I'll guide you with my knowledge and my presence. Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I'll guide you with my eye. He's actually saying, I'll guide you with my knowledge and my presence. Where do we acquire knowledge of God? Through His Word. He wants to guide us first and foremost through His Word. Amen? And through our own human spirits. Amen? Through conscience. Through the still small voice. Through the authoritative voice. Maybe through a dream. Maybe a vision. Maybe a prophecy. Maybe an angelic visitation. Any of these things can happen. Amen? But the first, number one way He corrects us is through His Word. Amen? You don't need God to send somebody to tell you to not commit adultery because you know the Word already says, don't do it. Amen? Hallelujah. The second way is He will resort to indirect correction. He'll resort to indirect correction through family and friends. Through family and friends. If you won't listen to His Word, if you won't listen to the voice of conscience in any of the other personal ways that He corrects you, He will resort to friends and family. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, precious are the wounds of a friend. God will send somebody to correct you if you won't obey the Word, if you won't obey the witness. He'll move a little further out in the periphery. He'll go to family and friends. He'll go to family and friends. Amen? Parents correct children. Husbands correct wives. Wives correct husbands. He'll move in that realm. Amen? And if you're still not listening, then He'll resort to church leadership. I'd like to say He'd rat you out to the pastor, but that's not the right way to say that. So I won't say He'll rat you out to the pastor, but He will bring a revelation to the pastor if He needs to. Amen? God's not a rat. He's a good God. When He does it, it's not ratting. Amen? It's blessing. Amen? He will resort to church leadership. We read together, Helen read for us, Hebrews 13:7. Obey your pastor when he comes to you with a word of correction based on the Word of God. Amen? He'll resort to the pastor, to church leadership. If you aren't going to listen to the gravel on the side of the road, He's not going to let you just go into the ditch. He's going to move further out in the periphery if you won't listen to His Word, His witness, a dream, a vision, a prophecy. If you won't listen to family and you won't listen to friends, He'll move further out in the periphery around you, and He will involve spiritual leadership in your life. That would be your pastor. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you write that down? He'll resort to the pastor. You know, when you get to this point, If the Lord has been speaking to you by His Word, His witness, your family, your friends, and you're not listening, and He has to involve the pastor, it's bad now. B-A-D, capital B, it's bad now. It's really bad when God, I mean, you're in danger. You're in a real big danger zone now when the Lord has to use the pastor to bring a word of correction to you. Why is that? Because if you won't listen to the pastor, the next step, he moves further out in the periphery, and Proverbs 15 calls that the reproof of life. The reproof of life. And that's found in Proverbs chapter 15, 31. Amen? If he has to resort to the reproof of life because you wouldn't listen to the pastor, you're in great big trouble now. The reproof of life is when things stop,
happening for you, and they start happening to you. Why? Because you have now turned the law of sin and death upon yourself. You are operating under the law of the Spirit of life. You got into sin somewhere, disobedience. God tried to correct you with His Word, tried to correct you with the witness, tried to correct you with family, tried to correct you with friends, tried to correct you with the pastor, and you wouldn't listen. And now the law of sin and death, you've turned it against yourself. Amen. These are all laws that God slung in motion for us to cause to work for or against ourselves. He doesn't do it to us. We do it to ourselves. Write down in your notes with that point, Jeremiah 2:19. The Holy Spirit said through the prophet Jeremiah, your own sins and transgressions will correct you. Not God, your own sins and your own transgressions. How? By the law of sin and death turning against you to push you back on track. God allows it to happen so you'll repent and run back to Him. Amen? If you won't listen, well, you know, let me just say this too. The law of sin and death will take over whether you're a pupil, a pastor, a pope, or a president. Did you hear what I said? You can turn the law of sin and death against yourself. No matter who you are, none are exempt from these principles I'm sharing with you here today. We're talking about how God sends correction. Amen. Just because you need to know. Amen. If you won't listen to the word, to the witness, to your family, to your friends, to church leadership, or to the law of sin and death, He will then resort to civil authorities. And that's in number 5, civil authorities. We're talking about how does He send correction. I'm just going through them quick so I can dismiss you here in the next couple of minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. I was going to say, because I know you're squirming, but I know you're not squirming. Amen. You're all open to the Word of God. Amen. You've proven that to me time and time again. I thank God for you people who make my job easy. Amen. You do. Don't have to fight with you about stuff. Amen. Glory be to God. And it's just getting better. Amen. You won't listen to the law of sin and death. He'll resort then to civil authorities. That's Romans 13:1-3. And I won't quote it for you. I'll paraphrase it. The Apostle Paul said, all who are in positions of authority, civil authority in this earth, magistrates he called them, get their power from God. Saved and unsaved alike. A police officer does not have to be born again for you to pull over when he tells you to. God gave him His power. All power is of God. Amen? And if we refuse to obey the magistrates, the Bible says we resist God. We resist God. And He said, damnation will come upon us. He said, if you resist the magistrates, damnation will come upon you. That word damnation is krima. K-R-I-M-A. It's our word for crime. You know what He's saying? You know what He's saying? If you won't obey the word and the witness and family and friends, if you won't obey the pastor, if you won't obey the reproof of life when everything starts going wrong on you, you're going to get a real good up look close at police officers, attorneys, judges, and the penitentiary system in your country of choice. Amen? That's what's going to happen. And if you keep pushing, and you keep pushing, and you keep violating your conscience, and keep violating the Word of God to where you're not even listening to civil authorities anymore, you're running the risk of becoming a murderer. You just violate your conscience so bad. That's why murder is murder. I mean, they're full of Satan and demon powers to get to that place anyway. Their conscience is so seared. People who murdered deliberately, they went through all these steps to get to where they are. And the Bible says that their life needs to be taken now, or if you were the murderer, your life would need to be taken. Genesis 9:6 says, if we shed the blood of a human being, our blood is to be shed. Somebody always says, and even said to me, that's part of the law. Capital punishment is part of the law. And we're no longer subject to the law of Moses. So the law of Moses began in the book of Exodus, didn't it? I just quoted Genesis 9:6. It only takes one eye and half a brain. And I don't mean that offensively, Sandy. That's a saying that I use that maybe I need to stop using. But you don't have to have superb spiritual, physical vision. You don't have to have a completely functioning brain to know that Genesis is before Exodus. Did you hear what I just said? Genesis 9:6 says, if you shed blood, your blood is to be shed. That's before the law. Capital punishment was incorporated into the law.
But it existed before the law, and it exists after the law. I'm believing God for Sandy's eye to open, by the way. Amen. We are, as a congregation, aren't we? Hallelujah. Capital punishment. We don't want to get that far. Amen. We're not going to have to get that far. Ask yourself these four questions as we close. If somebody brings a word of correction to you, ask yourself these four questions. Is any part of it true? Number one. Is any part of it true? Number one. Is any part of it true? Because if it's even just in the ballpark, it's probably mostly true. Number two. Is it a long-standing flaw that's finally coming to the surface? Is it a long-standing flaw that's finally coming to the surface? Did you get those two questions? Is any part of it true? Is it a long-standing flaw that's finally coming to the surface for my benefit? Number three, if it is true, how is it affecting my family, my friends, and my relationship with God? And we're closing. How is it affecting my family and my friends and my relationship with God? And number four, what does the Bible say about how I'm supposed to change it? Did you get those four questions? This will help you. We stayed a little long today, but it's a good way to start the new year.